And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, last week you told us about an incident that took place at the Scranton City Council where somebody got up, a member of the public, and delivered a diatribe against immigrants who have recently settled in Scranton. Of course, it was all racism. It was not just anti-immigrant, it was anti-black. Basically he said that he called for putting illegals in concentration camps. Yes. And when one of the city council members, Ms. Rothschild, objected, he said, "I shouldn't have said concentration camps, I meant internment camps." That's a big difference, of course. But this week,
the city council said that's no better.
Of course it's no better. As a matter of fact, what this racist ignoramus probably doesn't realize is that the United States did exactly that with the Japanese-American population in World War II. They arrested all the Japanese people, or people of Japanese extraction, who lived on the West Coast, trucked them to internment camps in Arizona and Arkansas and other southern states and southwestern states away from the border, and kept them there for the duration of World War II, and 30 years later apologized and paid everybody compensation. Reparations for that horrible act.
Yeah, well, the only ones that weren't kept there were their sons who enlisted in the army and fought.
Enlisted in the army out of the camps.
Right.
Out of the camps, the 441st, which was the most highly decorated unit in the United States Army during World War II, made up completely of Japanese Americans, young men who enlisted out of the camps. So there's no words to describe how disgusting this guy in Scranton was. But this week, people from Scranton came to denounce this fellow, right?
Yeah, and that was a good sign. A number of people spoke up. There were articles in the paper. They said that they didn't have room to publish all the remarks, but notable were the president of the Hill Neighborhood Association. I used to be president of the Hill Neighborhood Association back in the late 70s. Also the member of one of the groups that triggered this diatribe, a Congolese gentleman who's got a master's degree, and stood up and said, we're citizens and we work and we contribute to the community. And that was a good sign. That was a good sign. Because that's what you need. You need ordinary people to speak up, but you also need leaders to speak up.
That's right. I mean, anti-racism has to be carried out across the board.
Yeah, these folks have to know that their comfort level in being openly racist or anti-immigrant is not welcome, and that they shouldn't be so. I'm always reminded of Rosalind Carter's remark about Ronald Reagan: is he made people comfortable with their prejudices, and that's
Well, isn't that Donald Trump's great achievement?
Yeah. Well, yes. More than comfortable.
More than comfortable, right. Aggressive.
Yeah, more than comfortable. And we're seeing that playing out all over the country. And
well, one of the places you see it playing out is that racists promote people like Herschel Walker as candidates in a blatantly racist attempt to use racism to cling to power in a way that they think will shield them from being attacked as racist, because nobody could be less qualified than Herschel Walker, unless you have the attitude that Andy Borowitz says that even imbeciles need to be represented in the Congress.
Well, that's just a play on the old Roman Huruska thing, that only mediocre people need to have mediocre people need to have representation on the Supreme Court.
Right.
Remember, there was a nominee who was rejected.
Right.
On that type of thing. But, you know, Herschel Walker's made the statement, he's preparing, they're going to have one debate, and he's made the statement that, you know, he doesn't expect to do good. He's downplaying expectations. He says, I'm not really very smart. And it's obvious that he's not very smart. He's not smart enough to understand he's being used. That's certainly the case. And, you know, this week, his personal life, which has been an issue throughout the whole campaign, took another nosedive. When two things happened, it was revealed that he had paid a girlfriend to have an abortion. And then his son came out and denounced the way Herschel had treated the son and the son's mother during her marriage to Herschel Walker. That seemed to have hurt.
No. This fellow, the son, his mother was never married to Herschel Walker.
Okay.
She was one of his girlfriends.
One of his girlfriends. Then.
Right. And the son is a prominent right-wing commentator who had been campaigning for Herschel Walker and who then turned against him because he said, it's just too many lies. I just can't put up with it.
Yeah.
But he knew they were lies from the word go.
Yeah. I mean, Walker denied knowing the woman, this, that. I mean, she had the goods. She had his letter. She had the check. She had the receipt from the abortion clinic. She came out and said that he wanted her to have a second abortion at one point.
That's right.
On this thing. But the other thing is the reaction of the... you know, the anti-abortion crowd in this. Dana Loesch came out and said, I don't care if he aborted, what was it, bald eagles or something like that. I just want control of the Senate.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what it is. It's not about principle. It's not about policy. It's only about power.
Well, but that's a principle.
And someone said, well, you can be pro-abortion in order to control the Senate, but not to save a woman's life.
Right.
And it's, you know, that was the big issue with the Democrats this year. No one knew after the Supreme Court ruling in the Dobbs case whether or not it would affect the polling and people's voting. And apparently it did, although it's again started to fade as a primary issue in terms of the vis-a-vis the inflation issue and oil prices and things like that. But we'll see. Records numbers of women have registered to vote. They're registering predominantly as Democrats. The question, of course, is where they're registering and where they'll make a difference.
The question is whether the Democratic Party organizations have the organized strength to get people like them to the polls. To me, the more I see... the more I realize you can't go by the pollsters because they're just too inaccurate, especially in regard to the right-wing vote, the more it's clear that if the Democratic Party organizations don't fully mobilize themselves, get out the vote campaign, they're not going to win. They can't. I don't think they can count on television advertising or the general sentiment or anything, because the truth is, they don't know what the strength of the other side is. They themselves don't have roots in the community to give them the ability to judge. And if they're judging by what the pollsters are saying, the pollsters now have, in three elections, proven that they can't judge properly. Their algorithms don't work. So you got to imagine you're behind, and you got to run like hell to get every single vote out and take nothing for granted. Look at the Fetterman campaign. Fetterman's ahead... all this time, and he's still regarded as being ahead, and yet pollsters are now saying he's going to lose.
Well, the momentum seems to have shifted in that campaign. The Republicans have found, Oz was on the defensive because of Fetterman pounded him about living in New Jersey and being a rich guy out of tune with ordinary people, and Oz made a number of missteps. But now the Republicans have found their old favorite themes and found that they've been working or seem to be working, and that's crime and some racism, and
well, crime is just a code word for racism.
Yeah, it primarily is. And,
because if they were really concerned about crime, wouldn't they be going after the health care companies that keep ripping off tens of millions of dollars from the government with false claims on Medicaid and Medicare? They don't do that.
How about Donald Trump stealing government documents?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the crimes that the business community admits to, the far outweighs the petty anti-crime that these guys, the Republicans, jump up and down about.
I mean, you see all these companies paying tens and hundreds of millions of dollars because of what they've done, and then they say
Admit anything, right? The part of the deal is they don't admit anything, but they'll pay the millions of dollars. Why are you paying?
I never did anything wrong, and I'm never going to do that again.
Exactly. And by the way, here's $10 million.
Ten is small.
Yeah.
Compared to, I mean, some of them paid hundreds of millions. How many billions has J.P. Morgan paid?
A lot.
Or
our own Mellon Bank people out in Pittsburgh, right? They're constantly, the point is, everybody knows about this, but for some reason, that's not the crime that anybody on the right-wing side cares about, because their interest is to defend these gangsters, these corporate gangsters.
Well, people actually admired them. You know, that's just the cost of doing business, so to speak.
Yeah, it's the cost of doing business. They admire them. Meanwhile, they cause every social ill there is. They do the redlining. They distort the markets. They have runaway profits. They encourage runaway profits, which causes inflation. Meanwhile, workers are blamed for causing the inflation. Of course, they ask for wages so they can keep up with the inflation. Nobody talks about the runaway profits that aren't even reported. We have a Bureau of Labor Statistics. We don't have a Bureau of Profit Statistics.
Yeah. By the way, labor statistics, the labor market is still strong. More people are getting jobs. I saw the stats. I mean, Joe Biden has seen more jobs created under his administration in only 2 years than anybody else, I think, in history. I saw a chart that compared the last six or seven presidents, and Bill Clinton saw more jobs created than George H.W. Bush, and Barack Obama saw more jobs created than George W. Bush, and now Biden's seen far more jobs created than, well, Trump actually lost jobs. You see those statistics out there. And by the way, talking about companies, there was that professor from Yale, I'm trying to remember his name right now, who gathered the heads of corporations after January 6th and said, you got to stop giving to election deniers and people who voted to overturn the election results in Congress. And most of them agreed, but a lot of them have now gone back and are now supporting them. I think they showed some statistics at Home Depot, and it's one of its owners is a very right-wing guy, has been supporting some of the people that are election deniers. The Home Depot claims, well, we didn't really support them, we've given to different committees, but then the committees, you know, the money's laundered through the committees on that.
I think I saw that of the 503 Republican candidates nationwide, 300 are election deniers. Now, you know, if you say, well, I'm only giving to Republicans, well, you've got a 3 in 5 chance that you're giving to an election denier. Somebody who doesn't believe in democracy.
Right.
I don't say you should believe in democracy, but if you claim to believe in democracy, shouldn't you be believing in democracy?
Yeah. Well, they don't believe in democracy, though. That's one of the issues. Mike Lee said, we're not a democracy. He's out there. He's in a neck and neck battle with Evan McMullen in Utah for the Senate race. And McMullen, you remember, got endorsed by the Democrats as an independent. They didn't want to split the vote. They wanted to get rid of Mike Lee. And of course, you have Peter Thiel, who, you know, essentially says democracy is, you know, incompatible with what we should have in this country. And of course, he's been he was supporting Blake Masters for Senate and J.D. Vance for Senate.
Although I see he's pulled his financing from J.D. Vance. He says that Ohio case is settled. Vance is going to win. I don't have to put up any more money. That's nonsense.
Well,
I mean,
we
that's
know.
Just an excuse. I mean, it may very well be that Vance is going to win, but the fact is that in a campaign, you have to fight to the last day.
Yeah, that's a tough race. Ohio's always a tough race for Democrats out there, so... we'll watch it. I still think it's an uphill battle for Tim Ryan, but you never know. Again, it depends on who can get their votes out, and
exactly.
We still have about a month left. I think was it 4 weeks from this coming Tuesday?
Yep, it's 4 weeks. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Speaking of fidelity to democracy or antipathy to democracy, the Republican leadership. These guys came to power yelling about they oppose big government. They oppose federal power. They're all for states' power. Of course, they're all against socialism, which they claim is synonymous with big government. But it turns out that they're ready to compromise on socialism as well, provided the benefit goes to them instead of to workers. DeSantis, who voted against when he was in the Congress, voted against every law that came down the pike to provide money for states to recover from hurricanes, all of a sudden demands that the federal government put up money so that Florida can recover from the hurricane.
Of course. Of course. Now it's him.
Now it's him.
It's under there, you know.
Yeah.
One for all and all for me.
Right. No, I don't mind. I don't mind that. I'm for that. I'm in favor of saying, listen, the government should help me.
Right.
But be honest about it. And if you argue that the government should help me, then there's more me's who are workers than there are me's who are not workers. In fact, there's 82% of American families are workers. So if you say government should help me, that's a good argument for saying, yeah, the government should help working people.
Yeah.
But DeSantis only says the government should help me. This should be a very restricted socialism.
Yeah, well, when it happens to me, we want the government. When it happens to you, you're on your own.
You're on your own. That's right.
Yeah.
And by the way, when he says help Florida, he doesn't mean help everybody in Florida. If you look at how people like DeSantis applied the money that they got, the COVID money that they got, much of it was stolen by businessmen who were supposed to use it to keep people, working people on the payroll, but didn't use it for that reason. They used it for every other reason and never paid it back. The fact that the money goes to these states doesn't mean that the people who run the states, if they're Republicans, are going to use it to benefit people who need it.
Well, you know, he's been famous for that. And, of course, this last thing that he did with the busing or flying immigrants from Texas to Martha's Vineyard.
Using money that was appropriated to fly people from Florida, where they don't exist.
That,
there isn't anybody in Florida.
You know, but not only that, who got the contracts to do the flying? Who got the contracts to set this thing up? DeSantis' buddies.
Naturally.
Yeah,
well, as Mayor Daley once said in Chicago, if you can't help your family, what's the point of politics? He actually said that.
Yeah, well, truth is stranger than fiction.
That's right.
This dude is being honest in that regard.
Yeah, he's an honest crook. That's
an honest crook. That's it.
That's what we want, an honest crook. Well,
yeah. But, you know, and we see that socialist thing all over the place in other areas as well. They want government help. But, well, we've seen it with the transportation bill, right? The infrastructure bill, where all over the country, these Republicans who voted against the bill are taking credit for it. They're going to groundbreakings where the bill is you know, funding projects.
Well, like Ted Cruz, that loathsome slug, making speeches about how important this funding is to help these communities, and he voted against the funding.
Right. Right. Well, Ted Cruz is in a class by himself.
Yeah, he's to be emulated.
Look in the dictionary under hypocrite, and you see a picture of Ted Cruz.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of money, though, brings us to the January 6th committee, which is going to be meeting October 13th, and which this meeting is about the money.
Funding.
It's about the funding.
Follow the money.
Yeah.
Follow the money. There may be other meetings, but right now this is projected to be the last one until certainly after the election. And, if the Republicans get control of the House, it is certainly going to be the last one. It's interesting. If the Democrats hold the Senate and lose the House, will these investigations shift to the Senate? I've been thinking about that. I think they should, just to keep it going. But of course, the Republicans are then going to create all sorts of investigations on Hunter Biden. We had that story this week about Hunter leaked out of the FBI, apparently, that there's they're recommending charges on income tax payments or lack of payments and some other things. But of course,
the other one was he allegedly filed a false statement to get a gun license. Unlike everybody else who gets a gun.
Yeah. Where's the NRA on that?
Yeah.
But if he committed the crime, then he committed the crime.
But what's the big deal with Hunter Biden? I have to confess that I'm totally uninterested in that. I don't understand why. Supposing this guy is the biggest crook in the world, they're not making the comment or the allegation that Joe Biden was pulling the strings or that this guy was stealing the money to feed to Joe Biden. So what's about?
That's the implication. You know, there's some stuff out there that said he was going to talk to the big fella or something like that.
Okay, let's assume that he did that. How about Trump, that's all he did?
Well,
and boasted about doing it and said, well, that's what he's here for.
The deal, are they, the Republicans interested in the $2 billion that Jared Kushner got from the Saudis?
I don't know that they have ever mentioned it even, right?
Or, and they've never investigated Ivanka's getting those trademarks from the Chinese.
Ivanka, who created 14 million jobs in America? In a period of time in which only 6 million were created?
Yeah, well. it's the headline. It's not the substance of the article. It's not the substance of the article. But that's going to,
I'm against even mentioning the Hunter Biden thing because I don't think there's a thing there. There's no reason to talk about it. It just gives credence to the Republican charge and it makes an equivalency that doesn't exist appear to exist.
Yeah. I'm surprised they're not going to go back to Benghazi. But
maybe they will.
We'll have to see.
I'm surprised they don't go back to Boris Tweed. He was a Democrat.
Yeah. Yeah. William Marcy Tweed, right?
Yeah, right. Commissioner of Customs, New York City Customs House.
Yeah. But
1980.
Well, and that's the big cities, the big city bosses.
Yeah.
That really ran the party, the Democratic Party, up through the 1960s. Jack Kennedy wouldn't have been elected if it hadn't been for guys like Daley in Chicago or David Lawrence in Pennsylvania or who's the guy in Connecticut that became his postmaster general?
I forgot his name.
Yeah, those fellas. And
it was the existence of such organizations that allowed Joe Kennedy, Jack Kennedy's father, to say, I can't afford a landslide.
Right. I'll pay for a victory, but not a landslide.
Right.
But there was also one of the things is they weeded out candidates as well. What happened after the 60s is you had a lot of people who were able to publicly finance their own candidacy against the machine. Started in Pennsylvania with a guy named Milton Chapp, who...
Well, how about Nelson Rockefeller?
Nelson Rockefeller could do that. Chapp, interestingly, twice beat our now Senator Bob Casey's father in primaries to run for governor. The elder Bob Casey ran. And that pattern, we see it today all over the place. And we've seen all sorts of people running because they can finance their campaigns. But now things have shifted into the billionaires financing campaigns through the back door and picking their candidates there. Again, getting around the parties.
One thing is for sure, these political parties have generally been corrupt throughout American history. And it's only been at isolated instances that they've been able to represent the real interests of working people and people in the community. Yeah. And there's no excuse for it. It's never been a very good political system, never. No matter what people say about it, no matter what propaganda the American government makes about American democracy, the fact is the party system in America stinks. And,
you know,
and has always.
Yeah, I'm reminded of the story about the Republican Party in New York State wanted to get rid of their governor, a guy named Teddy Roosevelt, because he was a pain in the butt to him. He was independent. And so they figured out the one place where he wouldn't matter is we'll make him vice president. Right. So he became vice president under William McKinley. And all of a sudden, one day, McKinley gets shot and Teddy Roosevelt becomes the president.
Right.
You never know. I mean, I think the same thing happened with Chester A. Arthur. He was a guy who was, what was he, a port commissioner in New York State?
He preceded Boss Tweed.
Yeah, with Garfield. He got put on the ticket. By the way, both of those elections, you had an Ohio president and a New York vice president.
Yes. Are you trying to make a point here?
Well, they were the bigger states. These were the states where you had the bosses.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You didn't have that down in Tennessee or Arkansas as much. So,
there's no improvement if you have rich people who can ignore the party organizations because they have money, because then you have domination by money. You have domination by the Koch brothers or the Peter Thiels or people like that.
Yeah,
Why is that good? That's no good.
Yeah, these people who have no allegiance to democracy, have no allegiance to the Constitution.
Right.
They're only transactional. They're pretty much libertarian, but they're willing to use the government to enhance their own interests.
That's right.
But only their own interests.
That's right. But they make a fetish of it. They say that's good.
Yeah.
The other guys, the old party organization, they had to hide it. These libertarian types, they make a virtue of it. They boast about it. But in both cases, it's rotten. It's no good.
The other thing is, though, they invest in things to sell that point to other people.
And there are people who believe it. There are people who come to believe it, right?
They invest in think tanks, and they invest in things like the Federalist Society and what have you.
All right. So we have a way to build the economy and create jobs at the expense of democracy, at the expense of meeting people's needs. I don't know. Not all development is worthwhile. Economic development can sometimes fly in the face of people's well-being.
Yeah, and we're going to see this week what comes out in terms of the, where the money came from to help finance January 6th.
All right, and that's it for this week. We'll see what happens next week.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week. You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.